it is interesting to note that it doesn't just say don't be anxious. It doesn't just say, well, just don't do it. Just choose not to be
Just
anxious.
don't do it.
Why be that?
Why didn't you just think of that?
But it does give us, it gives us two things to do immediately after that, prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Because I think that oftentimes that, we've talked about this before with that book I was reading about, we'd often take things to the Lord in prayer, but we kind of take it with us on the way out of the throne
Just want to
room.
show you, Lord.
Yeah, look, see, I have reason to be anxious, Lord. It's, I'll see you next week. I'll take this with me.
All right.
I think we have a hard time leaving it at the altar a lot of the times. All right, welcome back, guys, to another week for Uncommon Man to Man. I am Joshua.
I am TJ.
And this week we're talking about anxiety. Woo.
That makes me nervous.
We were recently looking through our YouVersion account with all the different devotions and everything. We were talking about it. It was interesting that the top one for the last, was a year?
So last 12 months, that took all the numbers. Mm-hmm. And we said, what's the top one? And it was by over double than number two. It was anxious hearts.
And only the other one hasn't been out that long.
Month or two?
Yeah, and so
three months tops.
It's interesting that it's one of those things that we all deal with, but it almost feels like a boogeyman word where we won't talk about it. Like, we all deal with
Beetlejuice.
Yeah. We don't want to talk about it, but we all deal with it. But we wanted to kind of just talk through a little bit about what the Bible says about it, kind of our personal experiences through it kind of thing, because I know you're less of this than I am, but I'm a professional worrier. It comes with a badge and a newsletter every month.
Is it a sash?
Yeah. But before we get going too far, I'm going to start with our scripture reading. Yeah. We'll kind of dive on into it. So it's Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It's that one, and then it's the Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, about the Lord making our ways known kind of thing, that I was thinking about when anxiety kind of hits.
Sure.
But it falls in that category we talked before, the new phrase that I've been seeing a lot is the academic Christianese. It's almost like we use it so often and loses a little bit of its luster because we're just, I already know that. I know John 3:16.
Right.
And we kind of blaze through it, and it takes moments of in that, valley to be like, ooh, now I understand what anxiety means in this instance rather than just being on a scripty font on a pillow kind of thing.
When you're not going through something, you're like, oh yeah, Jeroboam and this guy's name. But when you're going through something and you're hanging on, Lord, give me a verse to get me through this. Ah, yes, Philippians 4, 6 through 7. So, it's silly that it requires us to be going through something for us to put value on Scripture. Mm. But, and maybe that's why the Lord, there's going to be trials.
Yeah.
Because I need you focused on my word.
Israelites, fair punching bag. I mean, every time he had to have them come back to him was after somebody did something, someone worshiped something, made something, did something they weren't supposed to.
Sure.
Consequence and then repentance.
Yeah.
Right. But it is interesting to note that it doesn't just say, don't be anxious. Doesn't just say, well, just don't do it. Just choose not to be anxious.
Just don't do it.
Why be that?
Why didn't you just think of that?
But it does give us, it gives us two things to do immediately after that. Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Because I think that oftentimes that, we've talked about this before with that book I was reading about, we'd often take things to the Lord in prayer. But we kind of take it with us on the way out of the throne.
Just want to show you, Lord.
Yeah, look, see, I have reason to be anxious, Lord. It's, I'll see you next week. I'll take this with me.
All right.
I think we have a hard time leaving it at the altar a lot of the times. And it's not an easy thing. And it's not an innate thing, I think, for most people to be like, I'm going to pray about it, and then I'm not going to be anxious about it after that point?
I think it has benefited me to a large extent of not being a worrier. Mm. Because if you're going to start a small business and you're a worrier, there's going to be days, and there's going to be a lot of them, that you're going to be worried.
Yeah.
But the Lord's in charge of equipping me with wisdom, but the Lord's in charge of bringing us clients, us doing things to bring clients, right? And then us serving said clients for His glory. While I think it's naive if it didn't say that, I spend time thinking and praying about how to be better at my job. But then obsessing over it to a point of, this is going to kill me if I don't, it would make my job torture.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to do this for any length of time, you're going to have to get, what did Bruce Lee say? Like water.
Right.
You better be flexible. You better have some thick skin.
Mm-hmm.
And you better know where you put your trust, because otherwise the world ebbs and flows. And if you're going to try to trust the word of man, where their yes is yes and their no is no, you're going to have days.
It's going to be days. Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting to see this performance that we kind of put on a little bit, because I think, you know, mental health's always been kind of a no-no word, right? It's kind of like the boogaboo. We don't talk about that. I think, you know, that was a little bit more for your parents' generation. Like, therapy was not a thing. There was no mental health.
Therapy was a fifth of scotch. Jack, Blue Label, whatever they had, you know.
Right. The quote from Christmas Vacation, where he's like, you know, how'd you get through family dinner? And he's like, I had Jack Daniels. And then through your generation, I think it was a little bit less than of that. But I think for my generation, we've almost like swung the other way.
Mm.
And I don't think that's great either. Great either. You know, every extreme is not a good option. But I do think for men, there is this kind of expectation of, like, you know, we can't be the worrier, right? It's almost like the expectation is the woman to worry and the man to be the rock. Sure. of the relationship. And makes us almost, for some guys, put on this like facade of like his performance armor of, I'm not worried. I'm a dude. I don't worry about anything.
Sure.
And that can be really exhausting. I know there was some couples I used to know. They had their first child. The wife was going through very hard postpartum depression. And the husband was really suffering, trying to, like, you know, help her through that. And they had this new child who's had colic and jaundice and all the other newborn issues. It wasn't sleeping. She was constantly crying.
Yeah.
You know, so newborn on top of that. And he's trying to work his way through all that. And he's stressing and worrying. And I remember the day he finally kind of opened up at our coffee group, talking about, he's like, I don't know where to go with this.
Sure.
You know, I'm stressing out. I'm worrying. I can't take this to my wife. And I almost feel bad bringing it here, because it's not like I'm not going through the depression and I'm not a newborn. But it's that kind of stuff that we almost feel like our anxiety and stressors are less than for other people, you know?
Yeah, I mean, just because I don't worry doesn't mean I don't feel stressed.
Sure.
Right? And so when Grams was up here, going through her cancer and get ready to pass, all of that on top of mom's health, work, all the details around her care, possible funeral arrangements, all that just kept stacking and stacking and stacking. And I thought I could feel it for sure. I think sometime, because of my realist side, it'll come out less worry and more like my frustration, in the sense of like, all right, this has got to get wrapped up.
Right.
This has got to change, that kind of thing. And that may be probably as close as I get to, like, worry.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, anxiety probably has a multitude of little arms that reach out.
Sure.
And we all struggle with, while I may not struggle with worry, handling ongoing stress does push me into, oh my goodness, this is our life forever now?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so how you deal with that. I mean, you saw that from, you know, probably a firsthand account of that, just say, 2-year span, even with Katrina.
Yeah.
I don't like these 2-year things. We had 2 years of Katrina. That was challenging. 2 years of health issues with Grams and her passing. And, you know, mom's dad had passed, like, I think a year before that.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a time period of a lot of stress on the family. And so, I think everybody deals with some fashion of anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Worry is one of them. Stress, frustration, guilt, depression, whatever they all are. And it's how you approach it. I mean, the Lord was tired of hearing me pray about this. If we always started off with, you again?
You're back?
Oh my goodness. I'm like, yes. Things are pretty much the same. That kind of thing. So that's where I have an Achilles heel.
Mm-hmm. It is interesting to see how we all handle it very differently.
Sure.
Of like, you know, some people cope, right? Alcohol, hobbies, you know, X, Y, Z. Sometimes it's avoidance where they pretend like it doesn't exist. And then just one day they just explode out of nowhere.
Right.
You know? And it's unhealthy to not deal with it in some capacity.
Yeah.
Right. It's not healthy to cover it with a bandage and ignore it, or, you know, go on that third shopping spree for another couch you can't fit in your house or whatever the case may be. But there is some level of, like, disconnect, I think, where there's this illusion of control that we have, right? Mm-hmm. Like, because there's like a disconnect of like, I feel like I should be able to control this amount around me, and that's just a bold-faced lie, right?
Sure.
I can't control half the stuff I do myself in a day, right?
Right. Can we control anything, really?
So when something around us doesn't go the way we want it to, or it doesn't go according to plan, that's when I think the worry and the stress and the anxiety really kicks up a notch, because it really shines a light on just how little control we actually have. But there is, you know, a silver lining to this, and, you know, it wasn't in our control before. It ain't control now. It's only in the Lord's control. And as long as you put your faith on that, you don't got to worry about all that in between.
Yeah, man, we would go for walks and kind of talk through that process, and there was just no way out other than going through it.
Mm-hmm.
And going through it meant Grams had to pass, and then her burial, which meant going to New Orleans and dealing with the grief. And then came a little great side effect called probate. Oh, by the way, T, how about a year of probate? Piling on.
Side note, I was watching a TV show and they mentioned probate, and it was like such a throwaway line. I'm like, oh yeah, it went through probate already with no one doing anything. And my first thought was, that ain't how that works.
Yeah, let's equate that sentence to something a little more palatable. It went through probate, or it went through the face of the sun. That same kind of feel.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, you know, as a believer, I mean, we tried to do everything we possibly could. It was a very emotional, raw, nerved kind of thing of someone passing. Expectations were like out of this world. It was just really a bad situation.
Yeah.
And but when you're trying to get through it, praying about it, talking about it, changing how you approach it, nothing worked. I mean, obviously, I think prayer had the biggest impact on that, because it changed our heart toward the situation. But any of our things of I'll just change my expectation. And all of a sudden you go through something and you're like, well, that's different than what I had planned for. And so, it's, and everybody has those type things.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's just like, oh, this Monday's horrible. Okay. And some people have stage 4 cancer diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
We're in a Sunday school class that half the class is probably 10, 15 years older than us.
Mm-hmm.
That prayer request is active. with knees and hips, and I mean, it's I got a lot of health issues,
mm-hmm.
par for the course, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, anxiety comes in all forms. There's no shortage of it.
Sure.
And so, since we can't avoid it completely, in every facet of it,
mm-hmm.
how do we handle it? And I think some of the content we've written. Obviously, Anxious Hearts seem to be a winner,
yeah.
which tells us we need to create more around anxiety. And just know, when we're creating content, we're trying to, one, I'm taking notes every Sunday.
Yeah.
And I told one of my pastors just Tuesday when I met with him, I said, I steal stuff from you every week. He said, great, now whatever furthers the kingdom. And it's me taking notes, being inspired by the Holy Spirit to write something that would benefit me as well as, I think, other men. But we try to rotate through content so you're not like anxiety again. But you can see that it outpaced all of our devotions by over twice as much. In a very short period of time.
Because
the next one, I think, was like over a year. What was the next one?
It was the father, becoming a better father and dad daily.
That's probably a couple years old.
I think that was near the beginning of our tenure in YouVersion.
Goodness. So you can see that, obviously, it was, so brace yourself for another anxiety. Don't worry, but it'll be around anxiety.
Yeah. And so, you know, as we talk about, for the Philippians, you know, if you start feeling anxious or start worrying or whatever your kind of external view or external, I guess, response to anxiety is, first pray.
Yes.
You know, first pray, whether that's verbally in your head, you write it down maybe. Always start there. But, yeah, I have heard over the years, a couple of different people talk about this, and this has been something that I've been doing more recently. It's helped me quite a bit. Going to the gym, getting active, has helped my thoughts and feelings calm down just because it gets the body flowing, gets some energy out, that kind of thing. So,
not the adrenaline.
You know, start with prayer, but maybe it's a little more practical about, you know, I go for a run or go for a walk or, you know, whatever the case may be. Just something, just to try and to see if that kind of helps out. But, you know, if you're looking for more content, we got a lot of content on the website. Mm. Anxious Hearts is on YouVersion. We have an original called Overcoming Fear.
Right.
And so check those out on the website. We have plenty of that content, both free and for members. If you're looking to become a member, there's two options, monthly and yearly. You can check those out. And, you know, every time we get a new membership, all that money goes right back into the organization to create more content kind of thing. And so I don't want to tip our hand, but something might be coming on the horizon. So keep your eyes on that.
Yes. Lord is, I can see the doorknob jingling of an opportunity, a door possibly opening, which would be a big thing for Uncommon.
Yeah. So if you feel led, go ahead and check that out. Go ahead, and if you got any tips and tricks outside of prayer and Bible, leave those in the comments below. We'd love hearing that and maybe be able to be an inspiration to someone else reading that kind of stuff. So
Definitely. Check
us out at uncommon.org. I want to thank this week's sponsor, Wilson Technology Group. They've been very faithful about
thank you, Robbie.
Yeah, sponsoring us every year, and just a great group of guys kind of helping us out there. So hopefully you guys enjoy this podcast today, and we'll see you guys next week.
If you're going to be something, be uncommon.
Amen.